Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrna, less lethal pistol launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HomeTitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
Look, the bottom line is this. Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe.
I mean, one of the young leaders was talking to me about climate mental health. I said, tell me what's going on with your peers. Climate mental health.
It is an existential threat. Do you care about climate change? Do you care about the future for you, for your children? Do you want to know how we can solve it? Through cool technology?
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity.
The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
All right, it's happy hour time here in the Sean Hannity Show. Hour number 3, 800-941-7326. If you want to be part of the program, that's 800-941-SEAN, S-E-A-N. By the way, if you could, because apparently now if my daughter wants to go to Georgetown University where mom went, it's going to cost $80,000 per year to be a Hoya. Hoya Saxa. So if you add that up, that's about $320,000, $25,000 over 4 years. So then, let's see, at the rate that I'm taxed at in New Jersey, both state and then federal, I would have to make $600,000 just to afford to send kid number one to school. And then if little Liam wants to go where daddy went to school, the University of Maryland, even though it's a state school, that's north of $55,000 per year as well. So all I'm saying is go out and buy my book just for that reason. You don't even have to read it. Just donate to my, this is my GoFundMe radio hour, okay? Come on, man, is the name of the book. The truth behind Joe Biden's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad presidency. It's actually quite fun and informative. I think you'll like it. You look at the reviews on Amazon. I'm shocked. You know, I thought the trolls would come in and just bring that baby down, but we're getting like 4.7 out of 5 stars. We'll take it. It's my first book. I didn't think I could write more than like a 1,000-word column, but hey, $65,000 or words just popped out of my little head, and there you go. So already working on book number two. Before I get to Carol and EJ, and hang on just for a second, okay? I want to get to Josh in California because I think he has an important message here regarding the impending Trump indictment. At least the president thinks that he's going to get arrested tomorrow for a completely, for lack of a better term, trumped up charge, ridiculous political weaponization. Every political analyst that you speak to that isn't biased says that this thing is an absolute joke. But anyway, Josh, just go ahead as far as the reaction to a possible arrest and what you hope does not happen.
Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. I just wanted to echo what a couple of the previous callers were saying about the protests being peaceful, but there'll probably be some instigators mixed into the bunch, and they'll probably be wearing MAGA hats and Trump gear. So I'd like to take it a step further and say, obviously, if you're peacefully protesting, film everything. And if you see an instigator doing something illegal and you're capable, maybe with a couple fellas, do a citizen's arrest, hold them down, go get authorities, bring them there, show them the evidence, and then maybe we can expose these people because they all have backstories, and I guarantee you their backstory doesn't have anything to do with being a Trump supporter, so we can kind of continue reiterating this narrative that these instigators are mostly from the left and not the right. So that's just a thought I thought I might have that might work to bring some of these agitators that are pretending to be on one side, actually on the other side.
And they're always from out of state, aren't they, Josh? It's never like, oh, this just feels like a local uprising that happened. But they have to be shipped in from somewhere and being paid by someone. So appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Common sense here on the Sean Hannity Show. Hey, speaking of common sense, let's bring in Carol Roth. She's an entrepreneur and author of The War on Small Business, How Government Used the Pandemic to Crush the Backbone of America. She wrote this before it was fashionable to say and do so. I know this is a fact because I read the book way back when. And EJ Antonio, Research Fellow, Regional Economics, Center for Data Analysis for the Heritage Foundation. And they're here to discuss the economy and perhaps looming crash that may be happening as a result of Joe Biden's $7 trillion budget that takes more of your money. Boy, should we be putting forth budgets? I'll go to you first, Carol. North of $7 trillion, considering everything that we're already seeing in terms of inflation. Didn't all the spending already to this point get us in this mess that we're in now?
Yeah, it's funny, Joe. I'm old school. When I think of the word budget, I think of matching up your income with your expenditures, not just coming up with a wish list of, here are all the things that I'd like to spend money on, and I don't really care about how I'm going to pay for it. But, you know, proposing $7 trillion, and particularly when there's no emergency, you know, quote-unquote emergency measures involved, it's really financial destruction for the United States. You know, if you go back and you look at pre-COVID spending, still a crazy amount. We were spending $4.4 trillion. The amount that's being proposed is 55% higher than that. The deficit that they're looking to run is something on the order of 90% of our pre-COVID deficits. And, you know, the timing of it is just really kind of thumbing the nose at the Fed. The Fed is trying to quell demand. The government is saying, well, it's not going to come from us. We're just going to keep spending. And anything they can't pay for, as the Federal Reserve has been raising interest rates, is going to be financed at higher interest rates. So unfortunately, everybody is swimming in their own direction, and the people who are getting crushed, as usual, the middle and working class.
And EJ, great points, Carol. What we're seeing now as far as inflation, it's not cooling off, right? We were supposed to be well below 6% by now. It was 1.4%, people may forget, when Donald Trump left office, and then shot above 9. And then once it dropped a little bit, then you had the media declaring that, hey, victory, we're going in the right direction. And now it's stubbornly still in the 6% range. So what needs to be done here in order to bring down interest rates? Inflation. Do interest rates have to be raised? And what danger is there around doing that again?
Well, Joe, as long as this federal government is going to spend like drunken sailors, we absolutely need interest rates to go up because we need to counteract what the Treasury is doing by the harsh action at the Fed. And if we did not have government spending like this, then we would not need to have such high interest rates. But the fact of the matter is you can't have your cake and eat it too. If government is going to continue with their spendthrift ways, if we're going to continue with these effectively zero interest rate policies, then we're going to continue to have inflation.
And EJ, just to follow up with you real fast, since Republicans control the House now and Kevin McCarthy has the gavel, this is a non-starter, right? Because obviously the House would never dream of passing a budget like this, right?
Well, I would hope so. But, I mean, how many times has the Republican Party let conservatives down in the past?
Great point.
We have to keep the political pressure on these people to do the right thing.
And, Carol, back to you. Let's talk about Janet Yellen, right, who, as you've noted on Twitter, she's been Fed chair. She's been Treasury secretary. And she's almost never right, right? So why does this person continue to fail upwards? And why should we listen to her anymore when she's been wrong about so many things in the past?
Man, man, if I had a dollar for every prediction that Janet Yellen made that was wrong, I'd be really, really wealthy now, Joe. I mean, listen, this is the person who said that inflation wasn't going to happen and then inflation was going to be transitory. She missed the opportunity to raise rates at the Fed. She wanted to peek into bank accounts that had $600 in them because, you know, you have to go after those billionaires with these $600 accounts. Somebody pulled out a piece where she said she wouldn't expect seeing another financial crisis in her lifetime. Like, it's just, she's like George Costanza in Opposite Day. I'll just do the opposite of whatever Janet Yellen says. And the craziest part is, in between her stints as Fed chair and then as Treasury Secretary, she went out and she gave speeches to Wall Street. She netted about a little over $7 million. So imagine being on the speaking circuit, getting $7 million for being wrong all the time. Like, how do I get some of that sweet gig money? Maybe I could be right from time to time and get a few of those dollars. It's absolutely frustrating. And, unfortunately, President Biden has a cabinet, but it looks a lot more like a junk drawer, in my opinion.
It's so true, EJ. I mean, it's one thing you can look at Joe Biden and say, okay, this is obviously somebody who has also failed upwards. And to spend money like the way he wants to, while inflation is as high as it is and the economy is as shaky as it is, obviously that's the wrong decision. On crime, time and again, he's out there saying that Republicans wanted to fund the police. Like, no. I mean, talk about lies and blatant lies. That one falls into the latter category. And obviously we see what's happening at the U.S. southern border, where 182 people now have been apprehended that happen to be on the FBI terror watch list, right? And obviously all the fentanyl coming in and our resources, particularly from on a healthcare perspective, are being completely exhausted. I could go down the line. Oh yeah, education. Test scores are now at a 30-year low for American students. Yet you look at the cabinet around him, then you say, well, at least maybe there's capable people around that could help steer the ship. But all I see is Pete Buttigieg over at transportation. He was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Now he's running a sprawling department like that and not running it very well based on everything we've seen in terms of the FAA, airlines not running the way they should, the supply chain crisis, obviously what happened in East Palestine. He took weeks before he went out there. You see others as like the energy secretary, for example, and Jennifer Granholm, who can't even tell you how many barrels of oil the U.S. produces every day. And what was her qualifications? I guess she was governor of Michigan and was on CNN saying bad things about Trump. So I guess that makes it okay. And then Kamala Harris, obviously, as our vice president, was a diversity hire if we've ever seen one. So that's the thing, right? A lot of what goes on in the economy is about perception and optics. And in this case, it just doesn't seem like the people that are in charge are giving or inspiring much confidence right now.
But, Joe, why should they inspire any confidence? There was a report that came out last year that showed how little private sector work experience Biden's cabinet has. The median amount of work experience among his cabinet was something like only 2 years in the private sector.
Wow.
I mean, these people have never had jobs where results mattered. And so we should not be surprised now when their results are terrible.
And Carol, do you think we are headed towards another? I mean, 2008 was obviously the worst thing we've seen since the Great Depression, but are we headed towards a crash, given it just seems like there's so much smoke now that seems to be pushing things in that direction? Or are some of these smaller regional banks failing an isolated thing that's happening and it won't have an overall huge effect on the economy?
You know how in the movie Airplane, which is one of my favorite movies of all time,
They
pick the wrong week to quit sniffing glue? The second in a week, wrong week to pick sniffing glue. It's not a great trajectory. We have different issues that are happening. You know, the issues that were going on at Silicon Valley Bank are different than the ones that were going on at Signature and Silvergate. It's different than what's going on at Credit Suisse. I think the big issue here that underpins this all is that the Fed put too much money into the system. There was too much intervention, and we knew we were going to have to pay the price. I mean, it was historic, $9 trillion that they blew up their balance sheet to, and to think that we were going to get out without any repercussions is silly. And I think we're marching on this trajectory towards this consolidation, this great consolidation. We saw it, with the big businesses during COVID. Now we saw some of that after the Great Recession financial crisis with the banks. I think we're going to further see it. If you go back to the Great Recession financial crisis and you look in sort of the early days, you know, you had New Century Financial that collapsed, and then IndyMac, and then, you know, Bear Stearns, and then, you know, it was kind of a while before you got Lehman and some other things. So the idea that, you know, we've done all of this messing around with the economy via Fed mandate and policies, and that we're not going to have more consequences, I think, is you know, probably naive. The way that they come about, you know, is it just, you know, a harder recession, you know, or does it end up with more of a banking crisis, or, you know, something else on a geopolitical spectrum? You know, I think that there are a lot of factors that play in, but to think that we are out of the weeds because, you know, the market kind of settled down today, I think, again, would be naive to say.
Couldn't agree more. And EJ, last question to you. I only have about 60 seconds. We've seen some of the media, and obviously the president, his press secretary, blaming this whole situation, particularly with Silicon Valley Bank and Signature, on Donald Trump, who hasn't been in office for 26 months, and Democrats have controlled the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office. How does that work exactly? Because they make the argument, well, if Trump didn't decrease these regulations, then this would have never happened. But that's not the reason why this happened, correct?
Well, correct, but the reason it works is because it's politically convenient. It doesn't work based on the facts. What the facts are is that the regulation rollback, which President Trump signed, was passed by a bipartisan Congress, and what it did is it rolled back a regulation which doesn't even apply to the Silicon Valley Bank collapse today. In fact, even if Silicon Valley Bank had been subject to the harsher and more stringent regulations, which the big banks are, it would have passed with flying colors. In fact, it would have done even better, most likely, than the larger and better capitalized banks, because the things that that regulation tests for were not what caused SVB to collapse in the first place.
That's exactly right. Just like in East Palestine, that was Trump's fault, too. It's amazing what they can blame on a guy who hasn't been in office for so long when it comes to inflation, crime, you name it. They do it. Anyway, hey, Carol, EJ, thanks so much for joining us. Great tag team, and we'll have you back real soon.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Joe Concha in for Sean Hannity. Back with much more, including your phone calls. 800-941-7326. 800-941-SEAN in just a moment.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know... Oh, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carvin and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Florida Georgia Line, everybody. Got your country music back, okay? A couple of angry tweets when we played Mariah Carey earlier. Who could be angry at her? So lovely. What a voice. But there were trolls. Most people actually found it funny. So the social media polling is in, and they like the conch selections as far as the music is concerned. Anyway,
I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're angry about Mariah. They're angry about you singing with Mariah.
Oh, right.
That was a lot, Joe, and I love you, but holy smokes.
Well, that's a good point. You can't step on her, right? I always do that with my wife, Linda. Whenever she sings in the car and she sings loudly, I'll say, who sings this song? And she'll say, oh, Mariah Carey. I'll say, let's keep it that way.
That's not nice.
Well, you know.
Haven't you ever seen Identity Thief?
No, I never have. What is that?
Oh my gosh, you have to see it. It's with Jason Bateman.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole singing in the car scene. I'm going to send it to you.
All right, it's done. It's done. Thank you, Linda. We have to talk in the after this next break.
I look forward to it.
Absolutely. Joe Concha in for Sean Hannity. Linda and Conch do a little tango. That's next. I love John Cougar. Again, we go back to the 80s. But he was John Cougar Mellencamp, I think, after being John Cougar, like the other name, like almost like he got married or something. You know what I mean? When he first came on the scene, he was just John Cougar. And then the Mellencamp just kind of was added after the fact, like Jackie Onassis Kennedy Schlossberg, right? I don't know. It's maybe my memory's failing me on this one. Call and correct me if you like. 800-941-7326. 800-941-SEAN is your number. Let's get to John in Houston. John, you empathize or sympathize with me on college prices?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Okay.
The reason I called was just, you know, a dad with post-college experience. My daughter went to one of, I don't know, let's call it the big 15 universities, start at Stanford or whatever and work your way down. And as a family, we were kind of disappointed with just the whole school experience. It was absolutely $70,000 a year and a little more there at the end.
Wow.
And I guess you know, what I would say to anybody who has a student in the audience that's a sophomore, a junior, a senior that's high achieving, do not be enticed. You know, you go to these college visits, your kid is a great student, and you're really excited, and you think, man, if I can get him into one of these Big 15 schools, their future is going to be set. I don't know about that. I've got other kids that are in state schools that are quality achievers. They make A's, and I really believe that experience is more well-rounded. And I think, you know, if I could redo the first student all over again, I would absolutely do it differently. And I just encourage everybody to look for the value in the school, not the brand name, because for us, it was a big mistake.
I agree with you on that completely. I think when employers are looking at these potential employees, they're not saying, well, you know, Stanford compared to, say, I don't know, Texas or Georgia. I don't think it really matters. I think in the end, it's how you interview, how you do in that interview, who you know helps out a lot as well. And in where you do your internships. I mean, I'm speaking more from like a journalism, like broadcasting perspective, but I learn more doing internships than I ever did in a classroom, right? Cause that's where you get real world experience. So yeah, to waste your money on these things, I'll leave it here, John. My brother runs a contracting school in Paterson, New Jersey, and his classes are full 100% because it is a fraction of what it costs to send a kid to college, and they're getting real experience learning how to be contractors and electricians. And when they get out, my brother has some insane stat, 97% of his graduates are offered a job within like the first 6 months after graduating. Like that's what how much of a demand there are for these types of jobs, and that's I think a good way to go. If your kid doesn't quite know what he wants to do, or he wants to be like a psychology major, which really does nothing for you when you get out of school, maybe consider a contracting school. So that's that. But John, thank you, and go Cougars. I think are they left? Were they beaten too? I think they may be out as well. Good Lord. But thank you, John. I appreciate it. Anyway, let's get to my friend Linda, who is also the executive producer of this program, because I need to know. I've been wanting to ask her about this, but we've had guests pretty much back to back throughout the entire show. Great guests, by the way, about the impending arrest, according to the former president, of Donald Trump. Donald Trump thinks he's being arrested tomorrow for hush money over Stormy Daniels, a case that was basically, it's a zombie case, they call it, Linda, right? Because 2 years ago, even the feds, even the Department of Justice basically said, there's no there. We're not going to pursue this. And now this Alvin Bragg, the worst district attorney New York City has ever seen, has resurrected this thing. For what exactly? Because I think Trump only gets stronger from this.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about this, and unfortunately for people on the right, you know, we have a lot of common sense. We have a lot of respect. And we have seen, just like you were saying with, you know, Vivek earlier, whether it's Ron DeSantis or Vivek or Jonathan Turley or Alan Dershowitz, you know, these are people who are not, you know, hardcore conservatives. These are people that are, you know, level-headed and would love to hate Donald Trump. And all of them are saying the same thing, which is that, you know, pardon the pun, but to be, this is as trumped up as it gets. And I think if I was a part of the Biden crime family and I was trying to figure out how to make everybody look away from the fact that I have taken the most powerful nation in the world and I destroyed its energy and I destroyed its workforce and I broke people down and trapped children in masks and told everybody that they weren't allowed to ask questions about anything and they just had to accept what the government had to say, and we had tent cities and open borders and deaths by fentanyl. What better way to make everybody stop talking about everything you're doing wrong but pointing the finger and saying, hey, we're going to arrest a former president. Check Precisely it out. Right. It's going to be great. It's great TV, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we have CNN on one of the screens here, as you know, and it's just, since I've been here at 3 o'clock Eastern, basically 98% of the coverage has been about Trump, about security around New York, or now the headline is McCarthy slams going after people over political differences, and they have scare quotes around going after people. So it's just, this gives the media, wow, it's like Groundhog Day. It's 2017 through 2021 all over again, where they get to talk about Trump all the time, because that's when their ratings were actually respectable in these situations. And as you said, the Biden crime family, I mean, more and more, these bank records are so damaging. The fact that members of the Biden,
no playtime. They get no playtime.
They do on Fox. Right. They do on a couple very, you know, Fox, but that's basically it, right? Where is the editorial board for the New York Times and the Washington Post talking about Halle Biden, a guidance counselor, get tens of thousands of dollars from a Chinese electric company, or James Biden, the president's brother, has gotten millions. Hunter Biden's gotten millions. And then with this most recent transaction, there's 80,000 to an unknown Biden, which I'm pretty sure we have a pretty good guess who that is. And that's where the real story is. But journalists, if you want to call them that, have lost their curiosity, Gene, as far as going after this, because Trump is the shiny object once again with this arrest likely coming. And we're talking to Linda, the producer of this great, great show. Linda, I gotta know, did you go on spring break back in college?
Never.
Really? You're working hard.
I went to school at night.
You did?
I did all of my degrees at night. I never had the quote-unquote college experience, so I was in school with working people.
It oh,
was
wow.
Very, it was an that was an education in and of itself.
Was this during the modeling era? So you did the modeling during the day and then went to school at night?
I was actually working on Wall Street for a little while. I was a portfolio manager, and then I was working for a hedge fund guy, and you know, and then I came over to here.
Wow!
So wait, yeah, I've always been a working girl.
What made you get into radio? That's quite a jump to go from finance to.
God, this is such a ridiculous story. I came here to do music, and I did all the things with music, and I thought that that would be my path. But you know, everybody knows, as a wedding singer, or you're singing in bars on the weekends and nights, and yada yada, you gotta, you know, you're singing for your supper. So I got a job during the day. I worked all day. I went to school at night. I sang on the weekends, and it just was like nonstop. And then I had to do an internship, and I ended up at PLJ. And I had a background in audio video engineering, and they needed an engineer on the AM side. And they said, oh, you want to try out there? And I was like, yeah, sure. They were going to put me in promotions because I know how to talk and yada, yada. And then they said, oh, you ever heard of Sean Hannity? I said, no, never heard of him. Not a lick. And I went into the interview with Sean, and it's a very funny story because about halfway through the interview, Sean looked at me and he said, you have no idea who I am, do you? I'm like, I'm really sorry. Wow. And he just started laughing, and he goes, are you always this honest? And I'm like, no, worse. You don't even know me yet. It gets really bad.
You are.
And that was it. That was how I started with him.
And that was that. So you were an engineer on the show, and you eventually worked your way up to executive producer.
I did. Yeah, I was a call screener. I was a board op. I would cut audio and video, and I've done it all, you know, so I've been here a long time.
So people know at home. I mean, radio can sound sexy, you know, like, oh, it's a great job, and you look at the stories of, like, Howard Stern and Don Imus and Rush Limbaugh. It is a grind and a half. It is the hardest job I ever had was hosting a show in New York a couple of years ago, and plus it was hard because I did it from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at night, and my kids were very, very young, and apparently my wife told me this after the fact, they would cry themselves to sleep every night because daddy wasn't there to tuck them in. So
it's actually very hard. I mean, I think in general working parents across America would all commiserate. You know, life is so much harder now. I was just saying this the other day to a friend of mine, and I said, you know, if we look at the 1960s, let's just take voting, for example, right? You go into the polls, you vote, you cast your vote. The night you cast all your votes, they count them up, and you know who won in the 1960s. Now it's 2020, 2023, whatever it is, going to be 2024, the next election. We can't figure anything out. It takes thousands of peoples. Nobody knows where it is. Everybody's working two and three jobs to keep up. Nobody sees their kids. We got daycare, nursery schools, kindergartens. It's a hot mess.
You're right about that. My wife and I were just having a conversation about this, how, you know, we're working our butts off. You know, I have at least three jobs, I guess. And we still just kind of look at our bank account and be like, wait a minute. why is this getting bigger?
And, you know, the problem is, too, is that you guys are a perfect example, right? You're two people who worked really hard, went to school and did all the things, and you always do the right things. And then you get to a spot and you're like, I really would love to be able to see my kids on the weekend and not be worried about working all the time.
That's right. We're going to Disney next week, so I'll see plenty of them. Believe me.
Oh, my God. Be careful. You're taking them into the lion's den, huh?
$10,000. I mean, I don't mind sharing this. And it's not like we're getting some sort of luxury room.
Everybody knows how much it costs. It's ridiculous.
It's insane. And the flight's like the cheapest part. And then from there, just to get tickets to go to the park every day, it's hundreds of dollars. I mean, to go on rides. This is crazy.
But are you guys doing that VIP thing?
No. Nothing like that.
So supposedly, I have no idea what it's called because I've never been to Disney and I'll never take my kids there. But
wow, Liam's not going.
I will never take him there. Absolutely not.
Interesting.
That is a liberal land of lunacy that I have no desire to be any part of at any time.
Alliteration aside, I'm very impressed with that. Okay, good for you. I don't know.
Nope.
It's my last chance to see them like as innocent because they're first and third grade before they start not believing in certain things. So I'm willing to swallow that and go with. But I get why you wouldn't. The reason why I brought up spring break before is because in Miami, they're trying to cancel it and they've already set curfews. I mean, This is insane. When I went to Panama City, Florida, drove all the way down, get there. It's 85 degrees there the first day, and you see people dancing. Everybody's, you know, bikinis, and it's just a perfect place. And I'm like, wow, it's just like the movies. And then 2 days later, it snowed. It's like, you gotta be kidding me.
Really?
You could look it up. 1993, March.
That's hysterical.
The storm of the century, they called it. And since you're in northern Florida, then it is cold enough to snow there or Alabama.
Really?
Which Panama City is near. Yes, yeah, so that was it. And I had a Jeep, so I took the top off and put it like in storage so I could drive around, you know, with the top off, my red Jeep, and then it's snowing on me when I'm trying to get to this place. I didn't even pack like a sweatshirt or anything. I had to buy one from like a gas station, which I still have to this day because it was so cold. But anyway, the reason why I bring it up is, am I getting old, or are kids, college students, becoming just more brazen because of what? I mean, you should see these scenes out of Miami. I mean, people are getting shot at spring break. This is unthinkable.
Well, the problem is right. This is like the perfect trifecta of events, right? So we have zero accountability.
Yeah.
We have parents that have been raising their children in a society of the internet, right? Mm-hmm. So we have the sensationalism of what they see on TikTok and Pinterest and Instagram, Snapchat. I mean, the kids don't even text each other. It's snap, 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 snap.
You're right.
And it's just constant. And they're judging each other all day long. And they think that that is reality. And then they play, you know, terrible games like Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty, where people are getting shot up all the time. And if you're a part of your child's life and you're actually talking to them about what's real and what's not real and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and you're involved, then your child knows the difference between real life and this, you know, virtual life that they live in a lot of the time. But a lot of these kids don't. And when you're young, as we all know, you have this invincibility thing. You think that you can live forever. You can do whatever you want. You're going to get away with it because you're special. You're unique and you matter the most. And no, you're not. You're only special if you do the right thing. When you do the wrong thing, you're just hurting people. When you do 90 miles down the turnpike and you're weaving in and out and you're swerving and you're going to hit somebody, and that person that you hit has three kids in their backseat. Why? Because you wanted to get four cars in front of them? Or you're going to shoot somebody on spring break because you thought they looked at you funny? You didn't like the way that they looked. You didn't like that they bumped you in line. But again, there's no accountability because nobody's going to jail anywhere. Nobody is getting in trouble except for Trump.
Right,
so
exactly.
Trump's the only one going to jail. And everybody else is fine. I mean, look at the crime in New York City. Look at the crime in California. You know, I mean, they're moving in droves. As you said earlier, if you look at U-Haul and you look at where people are leaving, you know, Mayor Lightfoot, she's like, oh, I didn't get reelected because I'm a woman and, you know, I'm this and I'm that and I'm black and they didn't like that. I'm like, lady, they don't care about any of that. They care about the fact that their kids are not safe. They don't care if you're a purple polka dot dinosaur. Like, you're just a really bad mayor who didn't care about her people.
Yeah, de Blasio 2.0. And that's the thing. It's not even just like, oh, this is happening on the South Side where things are always bad. No, like even the Magnificent Mile, you have like looting going on. That's Michigan Avenue. That's like Fifth Avenue here in New York. And once it goes into the good areas. Yeah, then suddenly the media starts paying attention. Hey, I want to get your reaction to one thing here real quick. Can you play the Jen Psaki spot on how it's a good idea for Democrats to go woke? I want your reaction to this, Linda, on the other side.
For Republicans, wokeness is public enemy number one. By the sound of it, there is simply no greater threat to American liberty. Whether or not they actually believe it, they clearly think it's a winning message ahead of 2024. And it makes you think, are they onto something? Should I be freaking out about how right-wing Republicans are co-opting woke and wokeism? My gut here is no.
So embrace woke, and that's something to run on. Ask Charlie Crist how that went for him when he lost by 19 points in Florida.
I mean, I don't think that Psaki should be talking about a whole lot. I mean, she was the spokesperson for two of the worst presidents in history. Just do your show on fake news and go home. Stop talking about what you think is right or wrong.
I cannot wait for the ratings to come in tomorrow for that show. It's going to be so horrible. Disaster. Put me as a guest. I'll just come on for 2 minutes and report and then leave. And that'll be that. Anyway, Linda, always a pleasure catching up with you.
You too, my friend.
I don't think anybody really heard the Linda story until now, so that was interesting.
Probably not. I've never told it.
Wow. Back with more in just a moment. Joe Concha for Show and Hannity. The Show and Hannity Show. We wrap this puppy up. Don't think I don't get to me. Darius Rucker, ladies and gentlemen, now considered country, was once rock at one point. He was Hootie the Blowfish. Anyway, we got to go real quick, but Jimmy Fallon, thank you for joining me. Governor Mike Huckabee, Carol Roth, EJ Antoni, he said. And thank you, Sean Hannity, for having me fill in for you. Great time. Thank you, Linda. Hope to be back here soon. Everybody, enjoy your night.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.